space. I think a lot of people out there, a lot of entrepreneurs out there, they understand how powerful the mind is. They're even aware of the fact that they have limiting beliefs and patterns of thinking that are holding them back. But there's this fundamental question that I think the personal development space is evolving into and answering, which is, okay, but how do I actually change my thinking? How do I use my mind to begin to prune out neural networks that represent patterns of thinking that are impacting the way I view the world and that are dictating who I am, that don't serve me well? And how do I build new parts of my brain, you know, through these mental technologies that allow me to be congruent with the vision that I have for my life so that I can create more and so that I can, you know, ultimately be a happy person?
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So about a year ago, I had an opportunity to attend an event along with 20 members of our mastermind group. And we were in Florida and we had this three-day transformational experience, otherwise known as the Powerful Living Experience. This three-day event allowed us to truly unpack and explore the mindset pieces that were holding us back, to envision where we wanted to go, and create tangible steps to fill in the gap in between. The Powerful Living Experience was created by and is hosted by my friend David Bayer, and I can really think of no one better to lead us through a conversation around where consciousness, mindset, and limiting beliefs are holding us back in the context of our global need to do bigger and better things. David is one of the preeminent thinkers in the spectrum of personal development known as Personal Development 2.0. He is an accomplished entrepreneur and one of the best people that I can think of to talk about how we as entrepreneurs can start to apply our mindset and leverage the technology of our brains to be even bigger and better in this world. It's truly my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, David Bayer. David Bayer, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Megan, thanks for having me.
I'm really excited for this conversation because I feel like so many of the people I've been working with lately, that it's not the model, it's not the mission, those are not the things getting in the way of their impact. It's the mindset piece. And I frankly can't think of anyone better to bring to the table for that conversation. Before we go there, David, can you just give us a background on the journey that has brought you to this place and then some of the fabulous things that you're up to at the moment?
Yeah. So, when did my journey start? Maybe 2005, 2006, I had started my third company. And my background was in building businesses online. And I've been an entrepreneur since I was 21 years old, which was over two decades ago. And a few years into growing that business, I realized that my life had become unmanageable. So in 2009, 2010, I acknowledged that I was struggling with drug abuse, with alcohol abuse. I started working a 12-step program, and I happened to be working with a therapist who spent a lot of time explaining to me how the addicted brain worked. And it was through a series of synchronicities that I got exposed to personal development, to wisdom teachings, to metaphysics. I became a seeker, really trying to figure out how to get through to sobriety. I remember going to the bookstore probably 3 or 4 months into working a 12-step program. And I was like, hey, do you have a section of the bookstore where there's like books that can help you with your life? They were like, you mean the self-help section? And I was like, okay, I didn't know it had a name. And I kid you not, I walked up to the second floor of the Barnes & Noble and I went into the section and then there on the floor was the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So I grabbed it and I read it and then my journey started, and it was probably around 2014 that I felt like I'd hit the personal development ceiling. Like I had consumed the books, I had gone to the events, I was really committed to ending my own personal suffering. I had really come to believe that the brain was this incredible goal-achieving technology, and that what I thought really was reflected in the experiences of my life. Carol and I, my wife, had gone to India. We had done the meditation on the red rocks in Sedona. We really went all out, but there was still this inner discomfort. And so, you know, a lot of the inspiration for the work that we do in the world today was to support ourselves in going beyond the personal development ceiling, like going beyond self-awareness. I think a lot of people out there, a lot of entrepreneurs out there, they understand how powerful the mind is. They're even aware of the fact that they have limiting beliefs and patterns of thinking that are holding them back. But there's this fundamental question that I think the personal development space is evolving into and answering, which is, okay, but how do I actually change my thinking? How do I use my mind to begin to prune out neural networks that represent patterns of thinking that are impacting the way I view the world and that are dictating who I am, that don't serve me well? And how do I build new parts of my brain, you know, through these mental technologies that allow me to be congruent with the vision that I have for my life so that I can create more and so that I can, you know, ultimately be a happy person. So that was my story. And then at one point in time, Carol said, you know, you really should go out and teach this to other people, because I'm seeing how much it's impacting you. And I'm seeing when you're having conversations with your friends, you're like coaching them. And I was like, I'm not a coach. I don't know. I'm an internet marketer. I'm a digital entrepreneur. But as you know, things evolved really quickly over the last 3 or 4 years. And now she and I are focused on helping as many people end their personal suffering as possible so that we can, you know, collectively create the future of the world that I think we all share.
That's it? That's all you're doing?
That's it. That's it. That's all we're up to.
Oh, well, I thought we were going to have a good interview today.
Yeah, sorry. That's all we got is how to evolve yourself through utilizing your own mind.
And end human suffering.
And end all human suffering. Yeah. Which really, and we'll get into it, is I think this next evolution of personal growth, which is well defined as utilizing the mind to rewire and reorganize the brain, is the linchpin of the evolution of the entire human species. And it comes at a very important time, because we also see that the species is in the process of self-extinction. So like, this is a really important conversation to be not only having, but to give people the tools to actually, you know, change.
Yeah. And I think you're starting to answer this question that I had coming out of that introduction, which I love that whole background. My question to you is, with the work that you are doing for people, is happiness the goal here, or is the goal something else?
Yeah, we would describe it as happiness is the goal. It's one way to look at it. So We, in our work, we identify two states of being. We talk about being in powerful states of being, which are states of being like happiness, joy, calm, curiosity, connection, presence, compassion, empathy, excitement, and primal states of being, which would be states like stress, anxiety, overwhelm, boredom, any form of fear, jealousy. And so the name of the game is to be operating from powerful states of being as much as you can. That those are states of being of the parasympathetic nervous system. And when we're in rest and reconnection and recharging, that's when we're connected to inspiration and creativity and flow states and an intelligence that is greater than ourselves. And when we move into a primal state or sympathetic expression of the nervous system, we're really just operating with the capacity of the mammalian reptilian ancestor that, you know, we emerge from, depending on, you know, what wisdom teachings you adhere to. So as entrepreneurs, we get it backwards, right? We want to produce the outcome so that we then can have permission to feel good enough, so that we can buy ourselves an experience of feeling like there's enough time, so that we can no longer exist in a fear of financial insecurity. But the truth is that if we can actually use the mind to eliminate those habitual patterns of thinking that we adopted very early on, and those misunderstandings, the fear of not having enough or the fear of not being enough, then we get to be happy. And we get to be happy without the manifestation of the experience. But the irony is that the way that the brain works is you begin to achieve those things. You start to create financial abundance for yourself. You become a greater impact in the world. You find the relationship of your dreams. So yeah, I mean, the point of all of this is to live in your joy. and live in your calm and live in your peace and have what we would call powerful living experience. And the good news is that when you learn how to do that, you actually get to have it all.
Amazing. So can we break that down in the next 20 minutes?
Probably.
Fantastic. So this idea of I can't have it all, is that just a limiting belief? And I'm going to, before I even go there, I just have to say, I was at your event last year, which was amazing. And we're going to talk about your event. But I think for 6 weeks after it, every single time my husband opened his mouth, I would just look at him and say, is that true? Or is that a limiting belief? So your name came up a lot last spring in our household.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was actually kind of, it was kind of awesome. But, you know, back to that question, is this, can we truly have it all, or are there limitations on that?
Yeah, I mean, we can have everything that we want, especially when the wanting is coming from an authentic place and it's not coming from a place of trying to, justify, an unreality that we're experiencing. You know, if you're trying to create success in order to combat the feeling of not being good enough, then it may be hard to attain that. If you're wanting to achieve financial security from what we would call a false belief that somehow you don't have enough, or you may not have enough, or that you may, you know, go without, which has never happened in your life. You've always had enough, and you have enough right now, and you will always have enough. So if you're trying to create in order to combat those limiting beliefs or those unrealities, then you may not create those things. But if you can, you know, if you begin to adopt a perspective that, you know, life is this really incredible intelligent design that both within our bodies and as us and externally is constantly working for, you know, our greatest growth, our greatest prosperity, and our greatest evolution, then you can have whatever you want, and your desires will come from a place of security. They won't come from a place of insecurity or a place of ego. So the long answer to the short question is, yeah, we can have all that we want, as long as those desires come from a powerful state of being.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy once we engage in behavior and mindset patterns and changes in beliefs that enable us to stay in that state even longer.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, we know this from behavioral psychology. We teach a concept called the five primary drivers, but it's basically behavioral psychology modified, that your beliefs, which are established at a very early age, as we begin to give meaning to the experiences of our life, or as we adopt the meaning that our parents gave to the experience of life, or other students who we commingle with in education, like we develop these core belief systems. Like if you want to do it right, you have to do it on your own, or money's hard to make, or in order to have everything you want in your life, you have to sacrifice, or there's not enough time, or whatever it is. Like there's, you know, almost an infinite number of patterns of thinking that become part of our core belief system. And now as adults, on a moment-by-moment basis, we can only have thoughts that are correlated with those core beliefs. So, you know, if you believe there's not enough time, you're always going to have pressure-producing thoughts, because your beliefs, your thoughts are an extension of your core beliefs, and then you experience those thoughts as feelings. So your beliefs produce your thoughts you experience as feelings, those feelings motivate or demotivate action or activity, and the action and activity produce results. And then those results reinforce the core belief. And so this is referred to as like a psycho-cybernetic loop. You called it a self-fulfilling prophecy. We would say the brain is a goal-achieving machine, because those core beliefs not only affect the way that you think, but they affect your perception of reality. They drive your unconscious behavior. So for example, if you believe that, you know, you're not worth it, and are not worth the prices you justify for the service that you provide to the world, you're unconsciously going to decide to sit next to someone at an event who's going to express an interest in working with you. And then as you have your enrollment conversation, they're going to go, well, I don't have the money to afford you. And so this is the science and psychology of how our beliefs begin to perpetuate themselves into the experiences of our lives. You know, if we, for example, find someone whose messaging isn't very good, we often find that they don't believe that their voice deserves to be heard. And so as entrepreneurs, we're always looking for a strategic solution But you kind of look at the landscape and you go, but you got the same entrepreneurs implementing the same strategies. Why are a few entrepreneurs having success and most entrepreneurs not achieving the level of success? And we would say it comes back to identifying these core beliefs that are then manifesting themselves into the experiences of your life.
I love that. And I totally actually resonated with what you just said on an energetic level. And on a physical level, what I found I just kept coming back to is this analogy that I know you have used before, and I will paraphrase it, but that your brain and your body really are one of the most technologically advanced pieces of machinery on the planet. And one of the biggest challenges we have is it's like we're my mom with her new iPhone, and she can open one app on it. And she's like, well, it's okay, but I don't know what all the fuss is about. How do we really start to tap in and understand the depth of our true potential? Like, I feel like it's just hanging out for all of us to grab, and yet very few of us have the skills to start to go there.
Well, I think part of that is because we've been living in what I would call personal development 1.0. So it's been conceptual, it's been philosophical, it's a lot of motivation and inspiration. If I look at books that really radically transform my awareness, there are a number of them, but you could look at The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, or even more so, A New Earth, really changed my perspective. But so, like, you know, Eckhart introduced the concept of the ego, but he didn't really tell you what to do with it. And so that's been a lot of the prior generation of personal growth. And so if we understand that everything that we do or do not create in our life is a result of our beingness, and by part of that beingness is the habitual patterns of thinking that we engage in that constitute our overall consciousness, and the awareness that we have and the lens through which we experience life. If we realize that that is the root of everything that we will create in our lives monetarily, from an impact standpoint, in our family, how we show up as leaders, and our emotional experience of life, then we become committed to beginning to study the next evolution of these teachers. Right. And so, you know, you've got, and there's more than I'll mention, but, you know, if you're looking about, for example, epigenetic expression and how the body impacts the mind, you're looking at Bruce Lipton or Joe Dispenza. If you're looking at mental, you know, how to actually use your mind to rewire and reorganize your brain and then apply that to entrepreneurship, you're looking at us. So there's a handful of teachers out there. And so how we do that is we begin to study this next generation of personal growth. And then, again, even that is an intellectual understanding. And so then we have to begin to apply it into our day-to-day lives. Like my spiritual practice is applying what we teach to my life. And so for the feedback that we get about why what we teach is so transformational is because we've been able to take what is sort of a philosophy and put it into a structure. And the beginning of that structure is to notice any moment that you move into a primal state, any moment you move into some form of stress, anxiety, overwhelm, or an emotional state of being that doesn't feel good, which is an activation of the sympathetic nervous system. You notice, that's the first step. And then you know that the only thing that's actually causing you to move into a primal state is your own thinking, and that the thinking that you're entangling with is a limiting belief. And so that begins the beginning of the journey of transformation, which is identifying a pattern of thinking that's not true, that's limiting you, that's causing you to not feel good, all of those things, and then utilizing some toolkit to be able to see that untrue thinking is untrue. Because that's what we believe transformation is. It's not about coming up with a better story or reframing it. I think that's what really separates our perspective from some other perspectives. We believe that the one moment of transformation is when you see your unintelligent thinking or your untrue thinking as unintelligent. Because the moment you're able to experience that, it's like all of a sudden you can't unsee it. And I've told the story of this young man that I coached who called me on a Friday night and said, I moved into a primal state and I wasn't able to get out of it. Can you walk me through the structure again? Because I really want to learn from this experience. And I said, sure, what were you doing last night? He said, I was a super successful entrepreneur. He's been successful since he was 17 years old, Muslim, Egyptian, always kind of felt like an outcast because he was different. So he's out on a Friday night with a bunch of other successful people. And he said, I'm sitting there with them at this private event. And I started thinking to myself, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. Why would these people invite me here? They're all so successful. I don't have the level of success that they have. And so he said, I noticed that I moved into a primal state, and I know that the cause of it, the only cause of it, is my own thinking. And I saw the thinking, and the thinking was, I don't belong here. And I said, okay, then what'd you do? And he goes, well, I didn't do anything because I really felt like I didn't belong there. And so because he was a client of mine, I had leverage, and you don't always have to use, you know, spiritual or religious leverage. But I said, let me ask you a question. You felt like you didn't belong there Friday night. And I said, you believe in God, don't you? He said, yes. I said, the omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing type of God? He said, yeah, absolutely. I said, well, then how did God mess up and put you in a place where you didn't belong last night? And there was a pause on the phone, and I heard him processing it. And he goes, oh, my God. And I said, what? And he said, I belong everywhere I am. Like, it doesn't even make sense that I don't belong where I am because I'm here. That's a fundamental reorientation of you to your reality. And that is real transformation. That's not trying to convince ourselves that we belong or coming up with a story or, you know, doing therapy around it. That's seeing the unintelligent thinking is unintelligent. And the brain is such an incredible technology that once you're able to experience that it doesn't make sense, it stops going down those neural pathways. Now, there may be some remnant of it over time, so you have to develop the practice, right, of noticing when you've moved into a primal state, seeing your unintelligent thinking is unintelligent, and then working that practice. But that's how you change your brain, and that's how you dehabituate the patterns of thinking that have been really the only problem in your life.
Do you see different patterns in women moving through this transformational way of thinking than men, as like a vast generalization?
Well, there is certainly more in indoctrinating patterns of thinking that men adopt and indoctrinating patterns of thinking that women adopt, right? So you could see patterns of thinking. Men feel a tremendous amount of pressure to provide. They feel like they're not doing what they should be doing. They're not as far along as they should be doing. They're constantly comparing each other to other men's success. Now, women also feel like they're not as far along as they should be, especially if they're entrepreneurial women, where you've got a completely different issue, which is they've moved into their masculine to run their businesses. So there's a tremendous opportunity to reharmonize between masculine and feminine, and for women to actually not move into the masculine template, but actually use their feminine attributes in harmony with masculinity. And I think that's why women are the next generation of leaders, and they're going to change the world. But we do see that there are patterns that men adopt and women adopt. We also tend to find that men are shut down more emotionally. So women tend to, it's a generalization, right? But women tend to be able to identify emotions more easily, and they tend to allow the emotion to exist more easily than men do. Men are just trained to shut our emotions down and just go forward and conquer. So, but ultimately, as you know, because you've been to our event and you're familiar with our work, the application of the methodology is really the same, and the outcomes are very, very similar. You have women who start to feel more confident, but coming from a feminine place and unraveling and untangling their limiting beliefs. You have men who are now showing up in a more authentic masculine leadership role with more empathy, with more balance, and being able to take a calm, powerful stand in the world. And like, if we can help a billion people do that, we change the world. Because if you look at the problems that exist today, right? If you look at child trafficking, if you look at bad governance, if you look at big food, if you look at big pharma, if you look at big finance, if you look at war, if you look at anything that we would want to change as we move towards, you know, the kingdom on earth or whatever you want to call it, all of those things originate from unintelligent patterns of thinking. All of those physical, quote unquote, manifestations are a result of people who are operating out of their own personal suffering. The body has such an incredible intelligence that if you can just remove whatever the resistance or interference is in the body will heal. And so similarly on the planet, if we can just remove the thing that's creating interference or resistance, you know, the planet will heal and we will heal, and that vision will unfold, and we see the number one disruptor within the global human ecosystem as limiting beliefs.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to uplevel their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. I love that what you just described there, this remove the resistance and then the system can heal itself, is the essence of naturopathic medicine.
Yeah.
And
it's the same thing with humanity.
Right. Well, it's like Euclidean geometry, right? What is it happening on the smallest level is usually happening on that macroscopic level.
Yep.
And I love that you just have a different set of language. And I find this so often as you go deeper into any of these pieces of work, you start to see all of the similarities with different language from different cultures, and everyone's kind of unpacking the same series of wisdom in their own way.
It's one conversation, yeah.
Yeah, and there's something powerful about that. And then I don't know how to describe it, but on like kind of cellular level, it's reassuring to me. Like there's such a truth in all of it when you see it in all of these different capacities. That's more my observation. I do these things where I don't really have a question. I'm just like, it's so cool that that is packaged that way.
It's a great observation. And for me, that feeling is, oh, there's actually nothing to figure out. There's nothing to do. It's an undoing. And so it feels tremendously relieving and peaceful to know that the solution at every level of our lives is to actually just stop doing something that we're doing, versus having to learn how to do something different. And that applies to your financial realm. You need to just stop worrying that you're not going to have enough and living in fear of financial insecurity, and then prosperity flows to you. It's the same thing with, you know, your body and your health. On one hand, we need to remove interference from the body. And then psychologically, you need to stop worrying as your body is going through a healing process, because that worry is causing contraction and preventing the healing process from taking place. And it's the same thing as we all individually and collectively as a human family approach the experiences of our lives. We just need to stop doing the things that we are doing, which is thinking, that's causing us to move into a primal state. Because all actions that produce results that we do not want in this world are coming from that state of being. And that's why this is the evolution of the human species, because as we begin to, whether it's through the mental technologies that we teach, or whether you take a body-focused approach of teaching and retraining and repatterning the nervous system so that it operates from parasympathetic, which you may need to do by removing toxins or through nutrition or through biofeedback or whatever it is, if we can do that, then we eliminate the unintelligence that's on the planet. And what we naturally find beyond that is everything that we want. The only problem is that human beings have the capacity to think unintelligently. And because we're powerful creators and the brain is a goal-achieving machine, we introduce that unintelligence into the physical experiences of our life.
And so how do we go from wanting to want that to from this place of like, okay, great, rather than living in this fear state mindset of I don't have enough, mm-hmm. or and let's say we're talking about money, how do I go from like truly feeling that way and then maybe even having experiences that reinforce that to authentically being in a mindset where I'm like, money flows to me easily and freely? Like, how do we make it not just an affirmation that we're saying, but we truly move into that new belief state? Is it just a matter of like the reaccumulation of evidence, or like, because I think a lot of people legitimately are like, no, I actually don't have enough money right now. Am I in denial? Is because I don't feel like denial is a powerful state of being.
Yeah. So this is more long. This is longer than the 20-minute conversation, right? And it's what we try to cover, even though I think we just scratched the tip of the iceberg at our 3-day event, and we go deeper over the course of a year. So the first thing is it's a choice, and more specifically, it's a decision. So you first have to understand the philosophy that we're talking about so that you can even give yourself permission to decide something different. You have to understand that the only reason why you aren't experiencing financial abundance is because you've been living from a fear of financial insecurity. And the way that the brain works as a technology and the way that it interacts with the quantum reality is that's what you've been producing in your life. And that the only reason why you believe that is because somebody probably in your family believed it, and that you are a creative technology, and that you can make a decision at any moment in time that to change. And So that is one. And then, as you know, we work people through a process of finding evidence that supports that new decision, which is really activating dormant neural networks that store the memories of always been taken care of. I've always had as much as I needed. That doesn't mean that you may not want more, but you want to be creating more from a place of knowing that you've always had everything that you've ever needed. And so, you know, for someone who says they don't have enough right now, we would really want to evaluate that, because language is so powerfully creative. Well, enough for what? Like, you've always had enough, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You didn't die. You've always had enough resources. You've always had enough food. For the most part, few people have, you know, been living without a home. And so you have to understand the philosophy, understand the technology, make a new decision, begin to find evidence for it, and be careful of and question the language that you're using. Because if you're using language that's causing you to not feel good or move into a primal state, that's an indicator that your nervous system is telling you that what you're saying right now or what you're thinking right now is not accurate. And it requires deep inquiry. And that's why this is such a beautiful journey, because this journey, whether it's from financial insecurity to wealth prosperity, or whether it's from feeling like you're being alone for the rest of your life to being with your soulmate, or whether it's having a powerful message and feeling crappy about it because nobody hears it, to becoming a thought leader, that whole journey is about coming to know thyself at a deeper level and removing any of the resistance that's there in the form of thinking and seeing the lies and the untruth that you've been telling yourself, while knowing that you can decide something new moving forward, because that's how the technology or the human being operating system works, activating memories from the past, and then doing the work. Because there, we do see that there's like an echo effect. You got to keep in mind, like, when you're changing the experiences of your life, that what you're experiencing right now is based on the decisions and the beliefs that you've had historically. It's based on the current structure of your brain. So the moment you start making a new decision, like, I know that soon I will find the man or woman of my dreams, and you see the unintelligence of all the good ones are already taken, you're probably going to go out on a date with somebody you get really excited about, and then it's not going to work out. Why? Because you're still in the process of pruning neural networks. It takes time to deactivate the old ones, and it takes time to rebuild the new ones. Not a lot of time, but oftentimes people get lost in that shuffle. They're like, okay, I get it, and I'm a powerful creator, and I understand how the technology works, and I understand the metaphysics of it. I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to make a lot of money. And then they get really excited because they've got a couple of prospects that could actually fulfill on that, and those prospects fall through, and it's so easy to go back to the old beliefs because we're not aware of this transition period. So you have to hold the new decision through the transition period. You have to have faith. If you look at scripture, there's so many teachings around this, right? It's like, in the midst of the chaos, you have to be calm and stick to the decision that you've made, and then the chaos will pass. One of the great parables is when the apostles are on top of the ship and Jesus is sleeping down below, and the storms whip up, because the storms whip up in our lives when we decide to go on a new journey, or we head for a new destination, or we come up with a new belief, or we make a new decision. And so the storms whip up and the apostles start freaking out, and Jesus knows how it works. So he comes up on deck and he rebukes the winds. They calm down and he goes back to sleep. Right. And so we have to be willing to maintain our volition through the dynamic changes that take place in our life when we decide that we want something else for ourselves. And all that, so often we see people who get really excited, and this is why you can go to an event, get really excited, make some decisions or make some New Year's resolutions, and nothing changes, because while the changes are unfolding over time, you go back to your old limiting belief. See, I knew I couldn't trust people. See, I knew that it was hard to make money.
Yeah, and I've seen myself, when I can now step back and look at decisions I've made, I can see where I have gotten caught in those feedback loops, and then it fully throws you down a path of, well, I call it self-fulfilling prophecy just because that's the language I'm used to using. But yeah. You can just see when you objectively step back how you start to get caught there.
Yeah, and I do it all the time. We all do it all the time.
Because we're human.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a criticism of someone's process or for us to say we work this practice perfectly, right? But we understand and we take radical responsibility for our lives. And going back to your question of, like, how do people apply this? You go and you study an applicable method, and then I think it should be one of the most important things that you commit to applying on a moment by moment and day to day basis if you want to have an extraordinary life.
Well, and I want to unpack a little bit your process around how you work with entrepreneurs, because I feel like if there is, I don't even feel like there's a better case group for you to have an opportunity to work with, because the thing I love about entrepreneurship is there are inherent freedoms and flexibilities built into the model of how we earn our living that, you know, we're not necessarily confined to a 9-to-5 and expectations of bosses and rules and regulations. So there's an inherent blank slate that we have an opportunity to work with. But when you take this methodology where you're really helping people rewire their beliefs and their thinking and the fulfillment on that and apply it to business, what does that look like? Like even from a 30,000 foot level.
So we have a structure that's before we even get into business called intelligent business design. And at the foundation of intelligent business design, it's your spiritual vision. And so it's the change that you want to see and that you want to be in the world, and ensuring that your business is a vehicle for that, that it's a vehicle for your becomingness, that we can look back on your life and see that there has been an intelligent design, often through the challenges of your life, that has helped you develop the skills. Maybe it's your innate gifts, it's your perception of the world that justify you uniquely as the person who's going out and creating this. And then as we go from kind of 30,000 feet to 15,000 feet, before we even get into business, we look at your life vision, because money, time, relationships, they're all forms of energy. And what's inherent in energy is looking for creative expression. Energy is looking to grow, to expand, to evolve. And so being clear on the life that you want, as well as your spiritual vision, which is the impact that you want, helps to provide a motivation for energy to flow through you. And a lot of people are so caught up in their business that they're not even clear on what type of life that they want 18 months from now, 5 years from now, 15 years from now. So we start with some really foundational components that are in alignment from a metaphysical standpoint with creating an impact, with, you know, attracting clients, with generating income. And so once we get clear on that structure, and there's five or six other pieces to it, then the first thing that we do is we look at what you believe about your journey of business. You know, what do you believe about what you're offering? What do you believe about your positioning in the marketplace? What do you believe about the goals that you've set financially? Because that's where we're going to start to identify the resistance. And then we clear the resistance out. And once we clear the resistance out, then we can start moving into the tactics and strategies of growing a business. And, you know, we teach fundamentals around that, right? Like, who's your client? How do you separate yourself in the marketplace? How are you structuring your offer? But we've got to remove the resistance first. So there are these foundational pieces that are really, really big picture. Then there's identifying the resistance that you have and utilizing the tech that we teach to remove the resistance. And then you get into the strategies. And what you generally see in the marketplace is people just jumping into strategies. So they're jumping into strategies, and if we were really honest about the motivation behind it, so many entrepreneurs are just trying to find a way to increase their cash flow because they're operating from a fear of financial insecurity. They're comparing themselves to other people. They're feeling like they're not as far along as they should be. They're wondering what's wrong with them. They're stuck on the entrepreneur's carousel, going from strategy to strategy to strategy to strategy. And so we almost see ourselves as rescuers of those entrepreneurs that are stuck on the carousel. We're like, all right, come over here, get off for a minute. And let's start from the beginning. And the beauty of it is that if you start from the beginning and you actually get every piece in place, then I believe you're 100% guaranteed to create a successful business, make the impact that you want to make in the world, do it in a joyful way, and achieve your full potential or destiny or dharma. And so that's exciting for us. And, you know, Carol and I spent several years stuck on the carousel. And I remember having dinner with her one night and going like, I don't know, maybe I should just go back to, like, you know, building businesses that aren't in the transformational space. I was like, how could it be so damn hard to just help people? And I know that a lot of, you know, doctors experience that too. A lot of functional and integrated naturopathic practitioners. It's like, how could it be so hard to help people? And, you know, part of the answer is because you have a lot of resistance that you're not aware of that's preventing the natural unfolding of your business, which has inherent within it impact and growth and attraction and income. Just like within the body inherent is health, you've got resistance that's mucking up the system.
I love the way that you put it. I had a speaker at our event this year for practitioners. And at one point in the middle of his talk, someone had a question. He looked at everybody and he was like, did you guys all have the same class in school on how to further your limiting beliefs? Because he's like, I've never seen a collection of people who like are just so on point with being caught in their heads related to their limiting beliefs. You completely hit the nail on the head. And I have to say, the only thing that saddens me and everything you just described is that I'm not going to be able to make it to the Powerful Living Experience this
year.
I truly loved it. We brought like 40 practitioners last year. We had so much fun. Can you share with everybody what this event is all about?
Yeah, so we do a three-day event once a year called the Powerful Living Experience. Inc. named it a top three must attend personal development event for entrepreneurs. We spend 3.5 days. The 3 days are March 13th, 14th, and 15th. And I also do a business bonus session for people who stay on site the evening of March 12th. And it's 80% personal growth, where we're taking people through exactly what we've talked about. Identifying what they want to create, identifying the resistance to it, learning the tech that we teach to eliminate the resistance. It's a transformational experience. So we introduce a lot of different modalities in order to, you know, really give a jump start to this process of changing your neural networks and changing your emotional responses to all of the aspects of your life and your business that are holding you back. And so, you know, there's nothing like an immersion experience. Especially if it's designed as an immersion experience, because you can become aware of, and more importantly, transform a significant amount of what is holding you back. I mean, someone once described it as taking a decade of therapy and condensing it down into 3 days. That said, we have a great time, and it's a high energy event. But yeah, it's a phenomenal event where we do what we think is the work that matters, which is the mindset work. And then we spend about 20% of the time talking about some of the business strategies that we've implemented that are really ideal for, you know, coaches, consultants, service providers, but any type of business owner, you know, that we've learned over the last 4 or 5 years as well.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And, you know, I will say for anyone who's thinking of going, and if you're thinking of going, like just do it. These are long, intense days, but it truly is transformational. Like this kind of stuff is, I don't believe you're going to get results by, you know, like dipping your toes in the water. Mm. But when you jump in and fully commit to jumping in, you do move into this powerful state. Like when you just surrender to learning those lessons and feeling them, you don't walk in with all of this sort of yeah, but energy. Really, really powerful things can happen. And I saw that with our group. People were having these incredible transformations with respect to their outlook on their life and their contribution and their purpose. It was really, really meaningful for them.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Megan, you know, like most people, it's not that we don't achieve things and grow throughout the course of our year, but a handful of people are creating radical, explosive growth. You're one of those. I think we're one of those. And then the vast majority of people are kind of incrementally moving along. And a lot of people, their 2019 was a lot like 2018, which was a lot like 2017. And Abraham Lincoln supposedly said, if he had 8 hours to chop wood, he'd spend 6 hours sharpening his axe. And so the reason why we do this within the first 90 days of the year is because it's the most important work you could be doing to create a year that's profoundly different than the year prior. Because what most people do is they set new goals, they make new resolutions, they're resolute, meaning they've decided to do things. But the one thing they haven't done with their resolutions is the resolving part. They haven't resolved the patterns of thinking that prevented them from achieving more and being more and feeling more in the prior year before they move into the new year. So it's 3 days to really complete a resolution process. And that is what's going to actually allow you to achieve what you set out to achieve in 2020 and beyond.
A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge. And they were surprised that I only took 4 things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are 4 basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that eased the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com. Yeah, it's so great. And for those of you who are interested, we will hook you guys up with a link to be able to learn more about the Powerful Living Experience in our show notes. David, I feel like this is a perfect place to transition to the second phase of this interview, notwithstanding the fact that I feel like I could have this conversation for the rest of the day. But the second half of the interview, I have what I call our KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our life as well. So I've got a few rapid fire questions for you, if you'll indulge me for a few more minutes.
I would love to.
First question. And I feel like this is going to be a biggie for you. What's the most impactful book you have ever read?
So there's two. One is Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. So he was a saint that lived from the late 1800s until about 1950. And it's his autobiography and his journey of personal evolution and connecting with spirit. And it's a beautiful combination of what we're now, it was ahead of its time, what we're now understanding through science combined with Christian and Hindu tradition from someone who wasn't alive 1500 years ago. So it's a really powerful self-description of connection with spirit. The other book is called The Power of Decision. It was written in the 1960s by a member of the New Thought movement, Raymond Charles Barker. And when I actually saw in my own journey that beliefs were just decisions, and that if I gave myself permission to make a new decision about life, that my experience of life in that area of decision changed, because that's how the brain works. I did some research. I was like, holy cow, like, is anybody else talking about the power of decision? And turns out Dr. Barker wrote this book in the 1960s, which we actually give to every person who joins our one-year program. Year one, they get The Power of Decision. Year two, they get Autobiography of a Yogi. And then year three, now we're giving them The Surrender Experiment, because I thought that was a phenomenal book as well.
Amazing. I knew you wouldn't be able to stick to just one.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay, but I'm going to pigeonhole you again. What's the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
All right, I'll give you six things. No.
you're a terrible listener.
The one thing, well, it changes. I think the thing I've been most consistent with in regards to my health over the last year is using cold. So cold showers, ice baths, to reduce inflammation, to enhance circulation, to train myself psychologically to be in the discomfort and surrender into it. And then this is a new experiment, just so I can not do the one thing, which is about a month ago I went vegan. And that may change a little bit, but mostly plant-based. And so I'm really excited to just be moving into a predominantly plant-based diet. You know, not only from a health standpoint and what, you know, some of the science I've been looking at is saying around a predominantly plant-based diet, but also just because it's in alignment with the way I want to be interacting with species on the planet.
And I don't normally ask follow-up questions, but how are you feeling on the plant-based diet?
Yeah. So, my exercise capacity has increased in an extraordinary way. After only 5 days on the plant-based diet, I went from my personal best record swimming in my lap pool, which was 10 laps, to 20, and I could have kept going. So like, it was unbelievable. I ran into the gym where Carol was working. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Like, I could have just kept swimming. I've found that most of the, and again, the reason why I moved into plant-based is because I'm also addressing some challenges. So everything I'm feeling is behind the challenges. But I've also noticed that my brain fog is gone. And I've also noticed a significantly greater amount of calm. And I've also noticed a reduction in just ordinary aches and pains in my body.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. And, you know, naturopathically, I'm like, really cool you're combining that with the cold. Greg and I have been experimenting with cold for the last few months, and I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's really, really powerful, actually. And it reinforces that parasympathetic piece as well. So it's, I think it's just a really cool tool.
And the third one, just so I can keep cheating, is breath. Like breath work is, I'm still trying to figure out why there aren't breath studios everywhere or why yoga studios aren't combining it with breath work. But doing transformational breath work is just another, you know, phenomenal thing to integrate, you know. And I always look at it as it's like, if I try to do everything daily and regiment myself too strictly, I set myself up for failure. And so if I just kind of pick a couple of things that I do almost every day, I tend to be very, you know, habitual about it. And so several times a week, I'm doing one of several forms of transformational breath work, and I just love it. The fact that all of this stuff is available to us now, and now we're looking at longevity possibility of living to 130, 140 years, it's just the most exciting time to be alive. And it changes your entire perspective as an entrepreneur, because a lot of people feel like they're not as far along as they should be, but they don't realize they're going to be around for another 80 years.
Totally. And, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking at the same time, all the examples that you're giving and everything we spoke about today, these are all accessible to everyone. Like this, the power of decision and, you know, jumping into cold and eating predominantly plants. This isn't reserved for privilege. This is accessible to everyone. And that's what makes it so powerful, in my opinion.
I agree with you, except that it's not accessible to people who have developed the habit of operating from a primal state. And that's why we go back to the same conversation, because if you're operating from a primal state, if you're operating from unintelligence, if you're entangled with the habitual patterns of thinking that are causing you to feel stressed, anxious, and overwhelmed, then you quote unquote won't have the time to do this.
And it's interesting, because what that does is it actually changes the stratification of privilege. Like privilege becomes those people who are willing to go there in a mindset or not willing to go there. And it just completely alleviates the criteria of, you know, socioeconomic stratification. See, I told you we could do this all day.
Hashtag mindset is everything.
There you go. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know? One thing. One badass thing.
Wow. The thing that comes to mind is that I still experience a significant amount of, I don't know if terror is the right word, before I go on stage, but I do it anyway in front of thousands of people.
That's awesome.
Walk I think that's fear. Badass.
I think it is too. What do you do for fun or play?
Well, normally it's experimenting some other form of personal evolution. Although Carol and I are now looking at taking dance lessons after, you know, we recently got married and we practiced our dance and we had so much fun with that. I'm thinking of adding dance into our fun play time.
Amazing. And last question for you, David. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Well, what comes to mind is I think we get called. And like we could have a larger conversation about what's calling us or what is the call actually. But I think people, every single person has a dharma and a destiny. And some of us, that destiny intersects with creating an impact that requires a vehicle, which is business. And some people answer the call, some people don't, and some people don't get the call because, you know, not all of us need to be entrepreneurs.
I haven't heard that
answer.
I mean,
if everybody needed to be an entrepreneur, I wouldn't have a team. So.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Always a pleasure. David, thank you so much for being with us today. Can you share with everybody where they can go to learn more about what you are up to? Because I know we are going to have people who want to follow up.
Yeah, sure. So our event details for the Powerful Living Experience are at powerfullivingexperience.com. And that's the once a year event that if you're listening to this now, as this episode comes out, you're probably about a month away. So plenty of time to join us and spend 3 days sharpening your axe. My site is davidbayer.com. It's Bayer like the aspirin with no relation. And we have my free ebook download, which is Mind Hack. We've had almost 200,000 downloads of that book, Megan, in like the last 2 years now.
That's
I'm thinking
amazing.
I should publish it at some point. But Mind Hack is a really great detailed overview of what this conversation is and a great entry point for people who want to go deeper into this work.
I love it. David, thank you so much for being here today. Always a pleasure.
Megan, you know, I know you, but I've never been interviewed by you. You're a phenomenal interviewer. Thank you for this. It was so enjoyable.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Hey, hey, bosses. If that interview resonated with you, I would love your feedback over on Apple Podcasts. Every single review, every comment you leave makes a huge difference in terms of the Entrepology Podcast being able to reach more people, help more people, and pour more individuals into our vector and vertical of leadership that we are using to try to change the world. Now, if you want to discuss a little bit more about today's topic or other topics that affect us as leaders and go-getters in this world, come on over and hang out with me in the Entrepology Collective. In this Facebook group, we have women from around the world dedicated to living a life of purpose, a healthy life, an intentional life as we cruise through and engage in our missions here on planet Earth. I would love for you to join us. I'm excited about what you do. Until we meet again next week, go build something amazing.